Hello and welcome to Feel Good with Jo, your Friday guide to leading a happy and healthy life. I'm Jo Sumner, holistic therapist, coach and yoga teacher. And each show I interview an expert in health and well-being to get their tips and techniques for managing the often busy and stressful lives we lead. Today, I'm delighted to be joined by Esther Newell, a counsellor, psychotherapist and team development trainer. And we're going to be talking about boosting your personal resilience, how to live and work with more energy and less stress. Hi, Esther.
Hi, Jo.
How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm well, thanks.
Good. Well, I wanted to start with just asking what resilience actually is, because I and our listeners, I guess, will have an assumption about it, but it's always good to start with just checking in. So what is resilience?
Okay, so resilience is the capacity to deal with all the different pressures that we face. And also to bounce back after, as well as Victoria Pendleton said, after one of her races, when rubbish things happen. And it's the ability to keep going and to maintain your level of performance even under pressure.
Okay. And so we're talking about boosting your personal resilience. How do we go about doing it?
Okay. So, well, the analogy that I'd like to introduce that I hope everybody can remember is that of a reservoir. So when we have to deal with pressures and deal with life in general, we draw on our personal resources that we have internally. And you can think of that as the level of water in your reservoir. So what you can do to boost your resources is you've got to think about topping up the reservoir somehow with showers of rain or river or something. And you've also got to stop any leaks that are draining away your resources. So the stresses and pressures that we face are like the leaks that can drain our resources away.
And I guess for me the question now is, what sort of things are we talking about when we're talking about resources?
Okay, so just that feeling of, yeah, I can handle that. I mean, it's not really a measurable quantity or anything like that. It's that sense that we have that you can cope. And when we feel like we're drained or we're run dry, then we start to get irritable, we want to withdraw or just sleep a lot or, you know, just struggle to deal with the pressures that we face or the tasks that we have to do. And then when we're feeling well-resourced, that's a sort of a sense of feeling capable, feeling alive, having energy, that kind of thing.
Something that I was really noticing last night, I was doing a meditation for Mum's evening last night, and it was really interesting how much we were talking about a general feeling of irritability and how that was making people emotional.
Yeah.
And actually what it was coming down to was very, very simply not enough sleep.
Yeah.
And not enough just time out, which was just for them. And of course, that's why we were doing the whole evening in the first place.
Right.
So in terms of topping up, I mean, I know what I do for topping up. I do things like taking time out in nature. And I talk about getting out into nature a lot on this show because I think it's so refreshing and different, and it literally clears away the cobwebs.
Mm.
What sort of things do you recommend to clients, or do you find that clients use and find as successful?
I mean, everybody's different, and it really depends on your personality. So anything that makes you feel good. So for some people, it will be going out and having a laugh with friends or just having a really good connection, really good chat with somebody who you like and trust. But for some people, it is about going for a run, doing something really physical, just pounding up and down the swimming pool or around the park. But for me, I'm a true introvert. For me, it's really about just having time by myself, reading a book or going away to a spa, which is a lovely treat for me. That I come out of that feeling really energised. So it really does depend on your personality.
And actually, sometimes I think it depends on what's the thing that's made you feel depleted.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I got some bad news earlier today.
Mm.
Not serious bad news, just bad news that irritated me.
Yeah.
And walking really, really fast for the bus, that's all it took. That's all it took was just, you know, I had an energetic spike with the irritation and then I had an energetic release with walking fast.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So in terms of stopping the leaks, what sort of leaks are we talking about?
Well, you can think of different kinds of leaks. These are the stresses that we face. And really, some are physical. We can put physical stress on our bodies. And, you know, our body doesn't really distinguish between where the stress comes from, if it's physical or if it's psychological. And there's another kind as well, which is very common, which is what I call a social leak or a social stressor. So the relationships that we have and social situations that we're in can often be a major other category of leakage of our resources.
Yeah, and I think we can all recognise that person who just drains all our energy. We see them coming down the road and we think, oh, let's just turn around and walk the other way.
Yeah,
yeah, absolutely. And so let's take physical first then. So physical stressors, I'm assuming it's things like, for example, going hungry.
Yes.
Getting tired.
Yes, exactly. Even being cold.
Okay.
Or having your blood sugar level going up too high or down too low. So in any of those scenarios, or being ill, having a virus, you know, that's another one. The adrenal glands have to go into action to produce hormones to help try and get your body to a steady state again. That's what their job is. And so the more that we can do to reduce the demands on our adrenal glands by not being hungry, not being cold, trying to keep our immune system nice and healthy, and having a well sort of slow release blood sugar going into our blood all the time, then that's a way to take the pressure off physically, actually, and stop some of the stress that we put on our bodies.
And one of the things I found, actually, on the point of being cold, because that took me by surprise,
yeah.
But one of the things that's worked, now I think about it, is even just 20 minutes exercise a day, because doing regular exercise actually raises, just slightly, but raises your baseline core temperature.
Yeah.
So you're less likely to fall into the trap of getting cold and then having the adrenal glands having to work so hard and all the other stresses.
That's right. I mean, it just comes down to exercise again, doesn't it? How important that is for all kinds of reasons.
Well, I think, you know, having had this wonderful summer of sport, we're probably a lot more up for it now than at another time.
About that earlier because, you know, exercise is obviously good. But the thing that I was learning from the athletes, and I was really struck by, is how much they focus not just on the intense training and the exercise part, but also on the rest and the relaxation and the topping up, because we kind of, in business and in our lives, often have this mentality like rest is for wimps, and you feel a bit lazy if you do that. But in actual fact, we need to have the periods of recuperation and recovery. They provide a function so that we can be ready for the next period of intense activity. So,
and something that I find clients say to me again and again, actually, is I'm too tired to be ill.
Yeah.
And then because they haven't, when they see the very first signs and they haven't stopped at that point and taken the necessary rest, then they actually run the risk of becoming much more ill,
yeah,
at a later date. So in terms of social stressors, what sort of things there? So I've already mentioned that, you know, that dreaded person that we know is just an energy vampire. What other things are we talking about?
Well, it can be all sorts of things. Anybody that we're with can trigger certain responses in us, and we trigger things in other people as well. And so it's just about tuning in, thinking afterwards, oh, that's interesting. When I'm with that person, this is what happens to me, or this is how I find myself responding to them. And I guess it's just about becoming curious about what kinds of feelings you have after being with that person, and starting to really raise your awareness of that.
Yeah, and I guess the question is, how do you raise awareness of that? Because often, if we're really busy and we're rushing about, what we can be aware of is the symptoms. So we're aware of the fact that we feel tired or fed up, or just sort of have this sense of gloom descend from nowhere. And don't always just have the presence of mind, actually, to stop and think, whoa, where did that come from? So how do you get people started with that way of thinking?
Well, when people come to me, it's already they've made the decision to put some time aside to do that work. But if you don't already have that in place, a sort of a regular slot to go and talk to somebody about it, then it would be a good idea maybe just to agree with a friend, you know, let's just have a chill out time once a week or something. Let's just chat and reflect and slow down. Or if you would prefer, you can say to yourself, right, once a week or once a day, I'm going to take some time out and I'm just going to look back and see what's interesting, what's happened over the last few days. You can get curious about yourself and your experience and your relationships. So it is really about slowing down and giving yourself a chance to reflect.
Yeah, and that's one of the things we talk a lot about in class, actually, both meditation and yoga class.
Yeah.
Is that I'm always advising people to really do just one thing at a time.
Yeah.
And when they know that, when they notice that their state has changed, so, you know, you start off the day, you're having a cracking day, you feel really good, and then at some point in the afternoon, something happens and you're feeling different, you're feeling down, you're feeling tired, you're whatever it is you might be feeling. Instead of allowing that to bleed into just into the next activity and ending the day really, really tired, depressed, whatever it is, stopping at the first moment you notice and actually thinking of that as the priority, thinking of that as a priority for your well-being, the priority for the well-being of the people around you.
Yeah.
But also, you know, if you're working, thinking of it as the priority in terms of your productivity. The stats on the difference for creativity between people who are feeling well and happy and people who are feeling depressed are just astronomically different.
Mm.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm curious how you got into this work, Esther.
Well, I started out, and it actually goes back to when I was 15 doing work experience from school. I was put into an accountancy office.
Right.
And instead of being interested in the numbers, which is all a bit dull, I was much more interested in how the partners and the staff in the accountancy practice communicated, or rather didn't. And so that got me thinking, well, you know, that I'd like to study that. I'd like to learn more about that. And then I went on to study psychology. And went on to become an occupational organisational psychologist. But then, for reasons of wanting to have a career that was manageable with family as well, because I was working full on in management consultancy and working abroad, and it wasn't possible to think of having a family with that career. I decided to sort of take my psychology training one step further and train as a psychotherapist. So now I have my private practice, which I can juggle with a family much more easily.
And so how do people find out more if they're interested?
I have a website. It's probably the first place to start. It's called psychotherapyandhealing.co.uk.
Okay.
There are loads of great websites that talk about psychological therapies and mindfulness and all that kind of thing. So I'm sure.
Any that you would particularly pull out for people?
If you're looking to find somebody to talk to particularly, there's a website called itsgoodtotalk.org.
Okay.
And that's run by the British Association for Counselling and Psychotherapy. It's got loads of good resources on it, and it's a really good place to start from if you're wanting to explore more.
Oh, that's fantastic. So that was itsgoodtotalk.org, .org. Okay, brilliant. Well, thanks so much for joining us today, Esther.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Okay. And so join me next time when I speak to Jane Michelle of Jane Plan about eating for happiness and health. Brooklyn's Radio.